Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Let me unmute Sherry.
Good morning, there Sherry. I am.
Good morning.
Okay, shall we start this off?
Yeah. It's one of those off technology, right?
Yes, it's one of those moments of where is Sherry?
Right here.
Zen version of where's Waldo, huh?
Pretty much. Okay, well, here's the passage for this morning.
All right.
Saint Francis was described as almost fragile in appearance, delicate as a reed. Gandhi weighed only 100 pounds at the time of his death. Yet, when they took a stand, no one on earth could move them. The combination of tenderness and toughness made them irresistible. To be tender without toughness is sentimentality. To be tough but not tender is cruelty. But in great spiritual figures, the two qualities are perfectly balanced. To be gentle, you first have to be secure.
Maybe you could just start with the second part after we establish what St. Francis and Mahatma Gandhi were.
The combination of tenderness and toughness made them irresistible. To be tender without toughness is sentimentality. To be tough but not tender is cruelty. But in great spiritual figures, the two qualities are perfectly balanced. To be gentle, you first have to be secure. And that is the most intriguing line for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, the secure. The thing that struck me with that when you were reading it is the fact that nothing is wrong doesn't mean everything is okay.
Yes, that was the peace quote from you this morning.
Are you serious?
Well, sort of. I mean, what you said right now is the fact that there's nothing wrong does not mean that everything is okay. The version of the peace quote was, just because you take responsibility doesn't mean that there has been a mistake. It's sort of the two sides of the same thing.
Yeah. Variation on the same theme.
Yes.
Huh.
Because in one sense, there is nothing wrong, but that doesn't mean you can't take responsibility for something. And just because you're taking responsibility for something doesn't mean that there is no mistake. I mean, that there is a mistake. Sorry.
Yes. Exactly so. And your point, the part that you said interested you, was the security. And to me, I don't know what you were seeing in that. Well, let me ask you, what were you seeing in that, or what struck you about that?
Well, it's only the insecure defend themselves. Because if you've got nothing going about something, you don't get riled about it. Right?
Uh-huh.
I only have to defend my position if I feel insecure about it.
Yes, and,
that's and why,
only
you know,
the ego is insecure, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so if I can afford to be gentle because I have nothing going about anything, that my sense of security, if we are religious about it, is related to what we were talking about yesterday. It's got nothing to do with externals.
Yes. And I've been telling people for years that for me, the greatest gift that we can give the world is an experiential understanding that there is nothing wrong.
Yes.
If there's any lingering question about something being wrong, it's because we are caught in an illusion of separation. We haven't yet grasped that this is a non-separate reality. in a non-separate reality, there can't be anything wrong because everything is of one essence.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong or a mistake can only happen if there's an illusion that there is something outside of all that is, right? So this is what happened, but that should have happened. And of course, for something that should have happened, then we have to believe in an alternative, an alternate reality that is different and other than all that is. So when we, you know, when we consider it that way, we can see that, well, that's just not possible. And yet when we get into the duality of conditioned mind, that illusion that this is other than that, we stumble, we fall for that delusion that there can be a mistake, there can be something wrong. And then, of course, what happens is that we lose our opportunity to learn from what is, to choose what is and be embraced in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to be the razor's edge of the spiritual path, which is to get to that realization, because it requires a non-dualistic orientation to be in that place of centeredness where we know there's nothing wrong. And it's not mutually exclusive that we can take responsibility or action.
That's right, which probably Gandhi is, Mahatma Gandhi is the very best example that all of us have of somebody who stayed in that place of there is nothing wrong, this is a non-separate reality, and we are going to choose this. This is the path. There's nothing passive about being at one with all that is. We can see that. Right? We just have to look around at nature to realize there's nothing passive about all that is.
Well, we have more callers than we could take in several shows, Sherry, so I'm going to bring the first
one
live.
Yes, let's hear from them.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini, this is Beth in Denver.
Well, hello,
hey,
Beth. How are you?
I am so great.
Good. Good. Yeah. Tell us a little about that.
Well, I just finished this amazing email class.
Me too. Well, I will say I'm getting close to finishing this amazing email class. So,
And how communication plays in that is just what you're talking about, that place of being centered and being compassionate was what was coming up for me. It's that place of being able to stay in integrity with yourself, with your heart, and how your experience is, and not get swayed off of it by thinking that you need to be more compassionate to somebody else or take care of somebody else. It's that place which I think I've always struggled with in spirituality is just, you know, there was always this ego centric karmic conditioning self-hate standard that I had to just be complacent.
Yes. That's exactly right. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, so a couple of quotes that most people are familiar with. If somebody slaps you on this cheek, turn the other cheek, right? If somebody wants your coat, give them your cloak as well. And it can sound passive until we realize that he's the same guy who threw the moneylenders out of the temple.
Right.
Yeah, and for conditioned mind, it's a tilt. Because, well, but shouldn't you, I mean, if you're going to if somebody wants your coat, you give them your cloak, you turn the other cheek. I mean, shouldn't you, if they want to do that in the temple, well, shouldn't you just let, no. No, the fact that there's nothing wrong doesn't mean everything is okay.
Yes, yes, I love that. I love that because that flips it for conditioning also, because conditioning really wants it to be one thing or the other. Both can't
yes.
exist at the same time in conditioning's world.
That's right. That's right. And yet, life is paradoxical, isn't it? Because everything can be and is happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So we can say everything is all right, and at the same time, we can say not everything is okay.
Exactly. 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 And conditioning... And the only place where I feel like that can be experienced is in awareness.
Yes, yes, exactly. So we have to actually just leave conditioned mind behind, because conditioned mind is all about figuring this out, and it's the difficulty is that it can't, because it's attempting to understand what contains it. So it's not that it's wrong that conditioned mind tries to figure things out. It's just that it can't do it. It's that old, you know, trying to get your dog to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, it's not a bad dog for not doing it. It just can't.
Yeah.
Right. And so if we realize that, then we can drop, you know, if you're going to try to sculpt a David, right? You just thought you'd practice with that. And so you get out your saw and hammer. You know, the saw and hammer, those are great tools. But not for that.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't have to hate conditioned mind. We just have to know that it's a great tool for helping us see what doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Very, very.
Namely, it. Right? So most of us spend our lives trying to figure things out, trying to understand, trying to get it right, and then we get to this place of realizing, that doesn't work. And then we're open to what else is there. And when we're open to what else is there, that's the point at which we put that tool down. Say, thank you for getting me here to the entrance to the path. I'm gonna look for different guidance now. Because now I'm on the path. You got me to the path. Thank you. Now I'm on the path. I'm going to look to something else to take me on this journey.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think for me, especially through the communication class, that all experience is a way of learning, and that if I do something that to conditioning looks mean, which is what it's always told me about being tough or being or holding my ground or being resolute, maybe resolute's a good word, then I just experience like how that is. And I think people, at least my experience has been, people are just not used to resolution with love.
That's
and
right.
Especially me. Let's put it that way. Especially me. But if there's this place where I'm finally starting to be able to practice, you know, I love you dearly and I need to do this other thing, or I need to, you know, I can't.
I love you dearly, and the answer is no.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And oh my God, it's just changed. It's changed so much, and I'm so grateful.
Yes.
So I thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're very welcome. And again, with the place that inspired these morning calls. Is people struggling with what's happening in the world right now, in our world, in the United States anyway, and the difficulties that we face. this to me is the perfect time to channel these spiritual figures that we appreciate so much, who we admire them and respect them and are in awe of them because they have said yes, yes, yes. There's nothing wrong. This is not okay.
Exactly so. And I, you know, as you've said so often, these are the times we practice for.
That's exactly right.
This is it.
That's exactly right. Yes. And no competition.
Right.
Not at all. We're just going to look at what we experience as what is true in our hearts, and we go with that.
Yeah.
Without conversation, without trying to figure it out, without arguing with anybody. again, with Mahatma Gandhi, you know, the things that he did, they were crazy. Can you imagine trying to do any of the things that he did and hear what the voices in your head might have to say about that?
Oh.
I mean, it's just nuts. And yet you could just sense how he just kept looking to his heart and trusting the intelligence that animated God in his language, that this was what he was called to do. And
yes.
So he did it.
Yes.
And it changed the world.
Exactly, exactly.
So we, being little Mahatma Gandhis, well, little Gandhis, maybe working on Mahatma, we have a chance to do that in our own lives.
Right.
To just keep looking to our hearts and resolutely, with enthusiasm, loving kindness, compassion, and as much grace as is available to us in any given moment, we just keep taking steps.
Yeah, which is what I feel like he did, you know, when he first started out, was for him, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a world like this. I, you know.
That's right.
And
experiments
only
in truth.
Even ripple out, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
It's exciting. Thank you, Beth.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Beth. It's really the quote, right, Sherry? I love you, but no is toughness and tenderness combined.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to launch on child rearing. It's one of my favorite topics, as we know. But I'm not going to launch on it. But we can. All we have to do is look at it. And see what happened to all of us. You know, loving people is indulging and giving them whatever they want, and it's unloving to refuse somebody, even if what they're doing is not the thing. So, yeah, go ahead. Who we got?
Here's our next caller. You're live on the air. All right. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, my God, I'm on the air. Hi. This is Dana. I live in Fairbanks, and I guess I want to start by thanking you for all these years extending your sangha to far-reaching corners of the planet.
Oh, well, our pleasure.
Sure,
glad
yeah.
Glad to have you joining us.
The question I have starts with the question of sorrow. And I think it extends to other emotions as well. And I know that when I'm feeling that tenderness and that sorrow, that at the heart of that, it's coming from connection to all that is. And then I'm sort of curious, I guess, about the process by which it then turns into conditioning, taking it over, and turning it into being about me or, you know, something
yeah.
to solve and all that. And I'm just trying to find that middle way between not shutting down the emotion and not getting caught up in the stories about it. And
yes.
I think also and with anger, too, I'm sure it's the same. I'm imagining it's the same story.
Same process. Yes.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if you've spent a fair amount of time watching that progression. I mean, you know that that's what happens. You you yes. feel a sorrow that comes from connection. You can, I mean, we can look at the planet, for instance, or, you know, look at air and water and feel great sadness for what's happening with all of that and with the people and the creatures who suffer as a result of the decisions that we human beings make. So we're aware of that, and then we're aware of it specifically with human beings when various things happen, right? And it makes us sad. Makes us sad. And then what you've watched is how that turns into something very egocentric, right? So now I've forgotten all about them and that, and I'm just here in my own, kind of stewing in my own juices. And at that point, I'm guessing you've also noticed, it moves from a concern about anyone or anything else, and all of the focus of attention is on me.
Yeah, and that, I think, is what creates, that's connected with the feeling of separateness starting to arise.
Yes, yes. And so what you're describing is the progression of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, making use of whatever is happening with a person for its own benefit, right? So it starts out as something genuine, and one, two beats later, ego has swooped in. Now it's making meaning. It's got its labels. It's making meanings. It's connecting the stories and just creating this whole thing that is now reinforcing ego instead of doing anything for you or anybody else. And is that your experience?
Yeah, and it seems like the labels arise with the feeling almost at the exact same time.
But it does, but they don't. It does. And so, Dana, because you're watching that closely, put your attention there. And you will see that the sensations are there. And then, yes, very quickly, the labels follow. But they're not a part of it. That's a critical awareness to have. Because when we have that awareness, then we can stay with the sensation, with the feeling, and actually explore it, which can be an opening into something much larger and much deeper.
Okay, that really answers my question then, because I get unsure at that point. Like, it seems that as I start watching and being in awareness of the labels, that that it's taking me away from the feeling, and then there's a part of me that wants to go back and experience the feeling because I know it came from a place of connectedness, but then I'm not really sure which is the right approach.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's a very exciting place to be exploring, actually, because, and I'll just say this, not because it's going to ruin your experience, because it won't, because it'll be just as thrilling, regardless of what I say. So that intuition, that the sensation, the feeling, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because sensation, feeling, emotion, feeling is a word that we use for sensations and emotion, and yet they're very, very different experiences when we start dismantling them, right? So that experience that you have, that you will feel as a sensation, that there is an intuition that it's coming from connection, will take you to fabulous places when you stay with it. Because is it connection? Yes. Is it connection the way you have thought connection is? No.
Great. I will work with that.
Okay. And one other little thing about it, I have this kind of rule of thumb for myself, period, in any situation with any content, and that is, no more, two-sentence maximum. So whatever is going on gets two sentences, And when we hit sentence two, that's the end of that subject.
Okay.
Because anything more than two sentences, we know where that has gone. For the first two sentences, it might be a, huh, what was that? Wow, that was a really loud sound. Okay, good. We've established that. Anything after that, we don't need to go there.
Great.
Yeah?
All right. Well,
okay. All right, let us know, huh?
Okay, take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Dana. Well, it's such a practice for all of us, right, Sherry? Because what arises when something happens like the elections is there's so much anger and there's so much sensation and emotion, and it behooves us to be able to stay with what is actually being registered in awareness and not go to the story about it.
Yes, yes, because that's where the juice is, isn't it? That's
mm-hmm.
where that. Whatever happens, you know, if we could live to be 500 years old, there would be so many of these things. If we had lived for the last 500 years, there would have been so many of these events. Oh, my gosh. Time after time after time after time after time. And we would have seen how common these kinds of experiences are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would stop thinking, believing that it's about the content. And we would really begin to be curious about, put more and more attention on the process. What's happening here? Because what's happening here is the cause of the content, and it's also the way out of the content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We can just see that, can't we? That, I mean, it's like coming to a fork in a road. And one way leads towards suffering, and the other way leads away from suffering. If we stay right there, we can actually slip back a step, and then slip back a step.
All the forks before that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And as the Buddha talked about, untying the karmic knot. Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a minute left, Sherry, so I think we might not be able to bring another caller on, even though there are so
okay.
many of the
well,
folks that are...
Let's just hope everybody will come back and join us tomorrow then.
Yes. And I have numbers down, so hopefully people will put themselves into the queue again and have an opportunity to look at whatever it is that they're looking at.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry.
And hopefully we'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks. Bye-bye.